behaviors, it is crucial for us because as parents, we really want to ask the real question, right? The real question becomes, what can we do to support them so that they can thrive? And I'm going to tell you, there are things that you can do. Number one, please.
This episode has been sponsored by Trendy Sped, an online t-shirt shop that caters to special education teachers and school psychologists who have a heart for serving in the K-12 schools. Well, if that's you, picture this, you and your work bestie walking into the staff meeting sporting a tee that screams, "I love Sped," or "Focus on the child's strengths." Because let's be honest, although your job is tough, your tribe is strong. And these conversation starters will open doors to educate people about what it is you do, squashing misconceptions about the children and families you serve. Live out loud with a Trendy Sped tee. Ignite those conversations and tag Trendy Sped with a photo of you sporting your new swag. Check them out at trendysped.com. That's trendy, SPED.com. And also follow them on Facebook and Instagram with the handle at Trendy Sped.
This is Parent Them Successful with author and licensed educational psychologist, Jessica Shields. Your child no longer has to struggle. On this parenting podcast, we unravel the complexities of the education system, give insight into intervention services, and offer encouragement and tools alongside your parenting journey. It's time for your child to thrive. Welcome your host, LEP, educator, and mom of four, Jessica Shields.
Hello, parent warrior, and welcome to the Parent Them Successful podcast. I am just so glad that you're tuning in because today we are continuing our five-part series on managing problem behaviors. Now, you may wonder, what is causing the acting out behavior in your child? And I'm talking about these five common reasons that may be contributing to this problem. So in part one already, I've talked about communication challenges as a possible reason. In part two, I focused on environmental influences as another possible reason. Well, in this episode, I will help you understand how neurodevelopmental factors play a part in problem behaviors. And we will explore in the next two episodes about how social and emotional learning gaps could be the issue. And we're also going to look at trauma or adverse experiences. So when we're talking about children with neurodivergent brains, we really want to take this into consideration, these factors, because again, that could be the reason why we are seeing the behaviors. And then also, it is going to help us. It is going to be information that we can use, data that we can use as well to shape the behavior into something that is more acceptable. So be sure to stick around for some tips that are going to be helpful for you, helping you identify those behaviors and then giving you some strategies that you can use to curtail the behavior. And also don't forget that you will get this week's parenting challenge and your loving reminder. You don't want to miss it. We're going to listen, we're going to learn, and we are going to grow together. So first, I want to talk about these neurodevelopmental factors and what they are. So when you hear the term neuro, think brain, developmental, developing the brain. So neurodevelopmental factors refer to a broad range of biological, genetic, environmental, and experiential influences. And these all can shape the development and functioning of the nervous system, particularly during early stages of life. Now, these factors do play a crucial role in establishing the structure and function of the brain, as well as neural circuits underlying various cognitive, emotional, and behavioral processes. So we have to consider the cognitive aspect, how they think, how they process information,
how they regulate their emotions, in understanding why we see the way the behaviors are communicated. Remember, all behavior is some type of communication. So when we're talking about neurodevelopmental factors, this can also include genetic predispositions. Your child when they were in the womb, so prenatal exposures, early childhood experiences, even after they have been born, and of course, brain maturation processes and other interactions within the environment. So just understanding these factors is really essential for getting a better understanding of the origins of maybe a neurodevelopmental disorder. And when we talk about neurodevelopmental disorders, you can think of autism spectrum disorder as one. Also, attention deficit or hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. It does include intellectual disabilities and also specific learning disorders. So just think about it like this. We have a child who is developing typically what you would expect, and then we have other children who need a lot more support. And as far as developing effective interventions and supports, we're going to talk about that because each child is going to be different. We approach each condition slightly different depending on what type of behaviors are being manifested. So you will hear me use the term neurodivergent. And the reason I use that is because this term is very common when we're talking about children who are on the autism spectrum or who have ADHD or whose brains work just a little bit differently than what we would typically expect. All right, so first, let's talk a little more about some of the neurodevelopmental factors that I just mentioned. So one of them that I talked about is genetic predispositions. So I want to give you an example. You have a child with a family history of ADHD, and I see this very often, and they may inherit certain genetic variations that predispose them to attention deficits and hyperactivity. So maybe a parent also had ADHD, or maybe it was undiagnosed. It doesn't matter. You still see some of the same characteristics in the child. This genetic predisposition can influence their behavior by making it more challenging for them to focus. That's the main one. Focus in school, or even to sit still for extended periods of time. We're not talking about video games. We're talking about doing work that is mundane, that you just have to get done because it has to be done, right? And that's all of us, even on our jobs. So there are things that just need to get done, and they have a hard time doing this. You also can think about it like this. With ADHD, the focus piece, maybe they start projects and they don't finish, or maybe they are asked to do something and they forget two of the things you ask them to do and they only remember one. So they do a partial job. So those are examples. Now, the other thing I talked about was a prenatal environment. So the example I want to give you is, let's just say you are caring for a child who was exposed to substances such as alcohol or tobacco during pregnancy. It can really affect how they develop as a fetus. So their neural development in the fetus form is already being altered, and it leads to behavioral issues later in childhood. So we have something called fetal alcohol spectrum disorders, and it can result in cognitive impairments and behavior problems like impulsivity and difficulties with social interaction. So a lot of times we might think, oh, it's just ADHD. But when you really dig deep into that prenatal history, there's a lot more that can be discovered. And then we can finally make sense of why this child is behaving in a way that is not typical or unexpected. And there's certain things that we need to do to support a child who has this history. Now, another one I want to talk about is the early childhood experiences. So here's a good example of that. You have children who experience neglect or trauma in early childhood, and it may develop insecure attachment styles and exhibit behaviors such as aggression or even withdrawal. Now, these experiences can shape their development, their developing brain circuits, and this can impact how they regulate their emotions, how they socialize with others, and it really can lead to some detrimental behaviors later on. So trauma early on, whether they witnessed something that was just horrific, and this can happen to anyone's child. There are a lot of things in life that can happen that no child should see, and it doesn't necessarily have to be parenting. It could be something that just happened that they witnessed. They were at the wrong place at the wrong time, or a tragedy at school, whatever it may be. Again, that can really shape them and cause them to behave or act out in certain ways where they're just trying to communicate their own frustrations, their fears, and they don't have the skills to do so. So that's another one that could be shaping the behavior problems that you're seeing. Now, there's also neurological conditions. So an example of this is the one I mentioned earlier, a child who's diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. Now, oftentimes they exhibit behaviors such as repetitive movements. You might see difficulties with social communication, sensory sensitivities, and these behaviors are influenced by atypical patterns of brain development and connectivity characteristics of this condition. So they have a hard time with maybe sights and sounds, and maybe sounds that are typically normal to a typically developing brain might be extreme to them. So they may cover their ears. So those are the things that we think about when we're talking about autism spectrum disorder, something that it can be diagnosed early on, which is best. And there are certain ways that we can help them navigate life in a way that doesn't interfere with their learning and their functioning overall. And then we also have environmental toxins. When I hear this, I think of Flint, Michigan, because a lot of what happened there did impact the children in that area. So an example would be, of course, an exposure to environmental toxins such as lead or mercury. It definitely can disrupt neurodevelopment and lead to behavioral problems in children. Now, for instance, lead exposure has been linked to cognitive impairments, attention deficits, hyperactivity, impacting a child's behavior and their academic performance. So if you think about where you live, is there something in the environment that might be impacting your child's development? I would say it's time to move personally if you can. If not, take other precautions that can protect your child's health, right? So when we're looking at these factors and we're considering them and they're at play, a child may be born with a neurodivergent brain, and it is what it is. So it is important to understand that neurodivergent children may experience a range of behavior problems that can vary just depending on the specific neurodevelopmental condition that they have. So I just want to go over 8 common behavior problems that we observe in neurodivergent children. And your child may have some of these behaviors, they may have one of these behaviors, they may have all. But I just want to share, because I want you to just to be clear about what some of these behaviors look like. So of course, attention difficulties, talked about this before,
Many neurodivergent children struggle with attention-related issues, inattention, being distracted, difficulty sustaining their focus. And this is particularly common with conditions like ADHD. Yes, some children with autism also struggle with the same type of focus inhibition, but there are ways that you can basically mitigate the behaviors and help them to better regulate their mind. So the second one I want to talk about is that impulsivity. That's the one that you can see right away. It is a very common behavior seen in neurodivergent children, and it's characterized by acting without thinking. You didn't think it through. Maybe just having difficulty inhibiting their responses and challenges with that impulse control. And of course, this can lead to impulsive behaviors like interrupting others, blurting out answers, acting recklessly, even being in people's space, you know, not respecting other people's space boundaries. And we see this with autism too, but also with ADHD. The hyperactivity involves the excessive levels of activity, the restlessness, and difficulty staying or sitting quietly. It is a very prominent feature in ADHD, but it can, again, also be seen in other neurodevelopmental conditions. And social difficulties. This is number four, social difficulties. Many of our neurodivergent children do struggle with those social interactions. And, you know, they may exhibit behaviors such as difficulty understanding social cues, challenges with initiating or maintaining friendships, or social withdrawal. And we, again, see these with children who have been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder or even social communication disorder. But I do notice some of the same issues with children with ADHD as well. Those friendships, keeping hands to yourself, I definitely see that on the playground. Number five is repetitive behaviors. So this is known as stereotypes or rituals that are common in neurodivergent children, again, particularly with those with autism spectrum disorders. And you may see things like hand flapping, rocking, and maybe some insistence on sameness or routines or repetitive speech, maybe echolalia, echoing you, saying what you say, not because they don't understand, but just because it's a part of how their brains work. Stimming is what the term is. So again, repetitive behaviors. Number six is sensory sensitivities. And just think about it. Sensory processing difficulties, they are very common in neurodivergent children. And of course, they can lead to hypersensitivity, but also hyposensitivity to sensory stimuli. And hypersensitivity is like, oh, you touched me and it made me very uncomfortable, even though it was a little touch, or the tag on their clothing may bother them. Those are just some examples. Hyposensitivity is that they need a lot more pressure when they are needing that input. So instead of like, get off of me, they really need you on them, or they need to feel your face, or they need you close to them. Now, this can result in behaviors such as the covering of ears response, right? When something's too loud, avoiding certain textures or environments, or seeking sensory stimulation through repetitive actions. Like I said before, stimming. And number seven is emotional dysregulation. So many neurodivergent children struggle with regulating their emotions, and it does lead to mood swings, tantrums, emotional outbursts. Those are some of the behaviors you may be seeing. This can be due to difficulties in understanding and expressing emotions, or even having a challenge with just coping skills in general. And then the last one, number eight,
is executive functioning difficulties. So executive functioning or executive functions are basically your cognitive processes. It helps you be goal-oriented, goal-directed. So it's your planning, it's your frontal lobe doing all the work there, your organization, your impulse control. And just understand that the frontal lobe is not fully developed until 25 years old. So it's your decision making. It's the decision making house of the brain, right? So that's why sometimes kids just don't make the best decisions. But neurodivergent children may experience difficulties with their executive functioning that result in problems with time management. So they don't have any sense of time. You're in a hurry, but they're not. Organizing and, of course, completing tasks. And I kind of mentioned this before with children who have ADHD, completing tasks, finishing what you started often is very difficult. So I just want to say it's important to note that not all neurodivergent children will experience all of these behavior problems. And of course, the severity can vary. But just know that there are things that we can do as parents to address these behavior challenges. We have to have the right supports, the right interventions, the right accommodations. If there's an IEP, making sure that's up to date and you have a behavior plan in place if you need that. If there's a 504 plan, just making sure that teachers are following those guidelines. So as far as neurodevelopmental factors, remember these factors can influence problem behaviors in children through those various mechanisms mentioned before, like having an altered brain structure or function, the neurotransmitter imbalances, the sensory processing difficulties. And that's why we have to understand how these factors do contribute to those behaviors. It is crucial for us because as parents, we really want to ask the real question, right? The real question becomes, what can we do to support them so that they can thrive? And I'm going to tell you, there are things that you can do. Number one, please consider, if you haven't already, consider early identification and intervention, because early intervention is the best. Recognizing early signs of neurodevelopmental issues and seeking appropriate evaluation and intervention can really help mitigate the impact of these factors on their behavior. And this also may involve you consulting with pediatricians, developmental specialists, psychologists, school psychologists for an assessment and guidance. That would be the first step if you have not taken that step yet. Also, create that supportive environment for your child. I'm telling you, it can minimize those stressors and it can support their unique needs. Because when you're stressed and you're in a heightened state of anxiety or frustration, that energy transfers to your child. So be supportive and stay calm as much as you can. Establish those routines, get those clear expectations going. Make sure there's structure in your home. Create those sensory friendly spaces if your child has sensory processing difficulties. Just create that supportive environment for them to thrive. Also, you want to utilize behavioral strategies. Implement these behavior management techniques like positive reinforcement, consistent consequences, and be clear with your communication, because this can help address problem behaviors associated with neurodevelopmental factors. And parents, you know, you can work with therapists, you can work with behavior specialists to develop these programs, these strategies, and make sure that they're tailored to your child's specific needs. Also, make sure you are providing social and emotional support. You know, children with neurodevelopmental issues may struggle with social interactions and emotional regulation. And you, as the parent, can support your child's social development by facilitating opportunities, no matter how scary it may be, for socialization, for teaching those social skills when they're hitting a friend they just met at the playground, right? And you can help facilitate the apology and help them ask if their friend wants to play ball. And of course, please foster emotional expression and coping strategies as well, making sure that you're co-regulating, you're coping, you're showing that you are not upset. You're being the model that they need to see in how to handle stressful situations. Please, I really encourage you to collaborate with the professionals. Make sure you're working closely with your child's educators. Again, the therapists, healthcare professionals. Get that team, that care team for your child up and running. Make sure you have access to resources and support services that address your child's specific needs. Just keep pressing, keep reaching out, collaborate, make sure you have that holistic approach to intervention. Make sure you're using those strategies from the various disciplines, such as speech, such as behavior therapy, whatever it is that your child's getting. Make sure you're doing all you can do and putting all of those things together to promote optimal development and behavior. And then the last thing I really want to say is just so important. You take care of yourself. It's self-care, but it's you caring for yourself. Because let me say, caring for a child with a neurodevelopmental challenge can be very demanding. And it's demanding emotionally and it's demanding physically, and you should definitely prioritize taking care of you. Ask your family, ask your friends, ask people in your circle to support you, to help you manage your stress, to make sure that you are taking care of your own well-being and enable them to be better supporters of you and your child's needs effectively. That's so important to have those people in your life. So by now, I really hope you're feeling more confident in recognizing the problem and taking action toward finding a solution. And with that, of course, I'm going to challenge you. I want you to think about one strategy you would like to explore and just try it out. And as your loving reminder, just know you don't have to parent alone. Always lean on your village. Well, I surely hope that this episode has blessed you. And if it has, simply hit that follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss any new episodes. And as you're thinking of someone who really needs to hear this, you already know what to do. Share the link, parentthemsuccessful.com, because that is going to make such an impact on their child's life. And if you're like me, you love to learn more about your child's growth and development, just join my email list at strongermindsstrongeryouth.com/join the list. And of course, the link will be in the show notes. Hey, I really do appreciate you. And I thank you so much for listening. So until next time, be blessed and love on your children.
Thank you for listening to the Parent Them Successful with licensed educational psychologist, Jessica Shields. We're so glad you've joined us and would love to connect with you outside of the show. To find more information about our services, the Empower House Academy, or to take our quiz, What's Your Parenting Style? Go to StrongerMindStrongerYouth.com. Feel free to email us directly at info@StrongerMindStrongerYouth.com. We'd love to hear from you. Other ways to stay connected are on Instagram and Facebook by searching Stronger Mind, Stronger Youth, and on Twitter at @official_SMSY. Until next time, be well and love your children, for they are a gift from the Lord.